Mark Bless. Hey, how you doing? It is August 20th, 2013, and it's time for It's All About Food. So what's going on with you? You've got some good food stories? Why don't you share them with me at info@realmeals.org? You know I love talking about food. I love hearing about food. And so let's just keep talking about it. Now, today is very important because we are going to be talking about a kind of food that I don't think gets the press it deserves. So let's bring on my first guest, Kathy Hester, who has come out with the book, The Great Vegan Bean Book. And we are going to talk about the wonderful properties of beans. And I've learned a few things from this book. So, Kathy, thank you for joining me on It's All About Food.
I'm happy to be here, especially talking about beans.
You know, there's a lot of things people have to say about beans, but I don't think we're focusing on all the right things. But we're going to do that in the next half hour because beans, well, I'm reading in your PR information, just maybe nature's perfect food.
I think they're kind of magical, so I think they might even be a little bit beyond perfect.
Beyond perfect. You know, we've heard for too long that the egg is a perfect food or milk is the perfect food, and we're really off the mark there. There's so many issues with those foods.
But the bean.
So people may be shaking their heads like, what are you talking about? But we are now going to tell you why beans are so magical. So where do we begin? Why did you write this book?
Well, why I wrote it was actually the publisher was looking for a bean book, and I love to learn about things. So I was like, sure, I'll do a bean book. I can find out all kinds of cool things. And obviously, I've been vegan for a few years, but I've been vegetarian before that for about 35 years. So I've been eating a lot of beans.
Mm-hmm.
And at first, people tend to think that they're kind of boring.
Right.
And that was one thing I really wanted to kind of take off the table, because beans are only as boring as the person cooking them. Like mustard. So
I might steal
on the
that
beans.
From you. Your cooking is only as boring as you are.
Even, I mean, to me, even just like Crowder peas and rice with a little bit of hot peppers and some sauce, that's pretty exciting to me. You know,
mm-hmm.
It's not a boring flavor.
Okay, so let's just start. One of the great things about beans, not only are there like a gazillion different kinds, and we'll get into that, but they're cheap.
Yes.
They're affordable. And they are super nutritious.
It's true. And they're so affordable. Of all the things you can start buying organic, usually common beans are the cheapest ones to start with, and they're easy to find now.
Mm-hmm.
You can even find them in a regular grocery store, organic lentils, organic pinto beans, things like that.
Now, there are different ways to start with beans, and you talk about them in your book. You can get them dried, and there's different ways to prepare them when they're dry, and you go into pretty good detail about soaking or not soaking, inspecting and rinsing, and all the issues. And if people want to know more about them, they should get this book and find out, of course. Occasionally I'll grab a can of beans because it's so quick.
I think it's really important to have a few things stashed away in your pantry that you can make just at the spur of the moment. Because
mm-hmm.
beans, unless you're cooking lentils or you're using a pressure cooker, you kind of have to think dried beans a little bit ahead of time. They can be just as easy as throwing dried beans in a slow cooker while you're sleeping, so it's not hard work. But if you just come home and you realize, oops, I didn't plan anything for dinner, you can grab a can of chickpeas and what you can make is pretty endless. You can make hummus. You can make a salad with chickpeas. You can make a chickpea stew. You can make all these things really probably in less than 20, 30 minutes.
Now, just like a lot of foods that we find in the stores in the United States, the big agribusiness has kind of limited what's available. And most people don't even realize all of the different varieties of foods that are out there because they don't see them in the supermarket unless you go into an ethnic market where a specific community is bringing in from their country something that's familiar to them. And that applies to beans because people may be familiar with a brown lentil, a navy bean, a kidney bean, but there are so many different beans out there.
And it's amazing. One of my favorite places to go is the Indian market. So if you have an Indian market near you, just to walk down the spices and the beans is an education all in itself.
Exactly.
They're so clever with beans, and they have every kind. There's whole beans with skin, whole beans without skin, split beans with skin, split beans without skin that all get used in a little bit different function. For heirlooms, which are really cool, but they are more expensive. If you've never seen any heirloom beans, maybe at your farmer's market, to take a look at ranchogordo.com and just kind of peruse them, it's kind of mind-blowing.
And they all can be prepared very similarly, but just like anything, they have their own unique characteristics. Some are chewier, some are mushier, some have a stronger flavor, some have a mellower flavor, and they're all worth experiencing.
Right. And garbanzo beans are kind of like almost the most special of all beans because they just hold together so well under any circumstances. So it's interesting that there's so many different kinds of lentils and so many different kinds of regular beans, but chickpeas kind of stand alone.
Okay. Now, one of the things that surprised me, and then I made a big duh when I was looking at it in your book saying, of course, but you bake with beans and
yes,
make sweet and savory baked goods.
Well, it's awesome because a lot of my readers are looking for low-fat to no-fat baked goods, so I try to make recipes for everybody. And when you're doing something with a baked good, you want to make sure that you're not using $5 or $6 a pound beans because you're not going to taste them. So using just some plain white beans, if they're navy or Great Northern, just really any white beans you get your hands on, the flavor is really very mild. So in a waffle or a pancake, you don't taste the beans at all. And actually, I had a bean hater over because we kind of had the year of beans at my house. So everyone who came over knew there were beans in something. They just weren't sure what. And so I finally, the bean hater was halfway through the waffle, so I said, you know, I have to tell you, there are beans in there. She had no idea, and she immediately stopped eating it.
Oh, how
so it was so
silly.
Sad.
How childish. Yeah.
We all have our things, so that was her thing.
Well, you know, I guess if I was eating a waffle and somebody said there was, like, dog milk in there, I would stop eating it, too.
Yeah. I guess I have trouble seeing beans as being that gross because most of the time people who are anti-bean, they don't like the texture or they don't like the flavor or how something has been prepared. When I grew up, I wasn't a bean lover because I grew up in the South, so we had pintos cooked with fat back and raw onions on top, which is not real kid-friendly food.
Right. The thing that surprised me is I got into gluten-free baking a few years ago. No, I'm not gluten intolerant, but I just wanted to provide more recipes that were vegan and gluten-free. I love to bake, and I didn't want anyone that couldn't have gluten not be able to bake and bake vegan. And I've learned a great deal, and I'm having a lot of fun with it. But I started to discover these bean flours, and I bake a lot with garbanzo bean flour and fava bean flour, and why not use the original bean? Why do you have to even go to the flour? That's when I went, wow, I got to start putting beans in my baked goods.
Now, here's the trick, though. If you're making something sweet, don't taste what's in the food processor before you add sugar, because I always do what I tell everybody else not to do, because I'm like, oh, is this going to work? And then I'm like, this is disgusting.
Yeah.
And because it doesn't taste like a sweet yet. As soon as you put some vanilla in there and your whatever your sweetener is, it's perfect.
Well, when I cook with garbanzo bean flour, even if you sweeten it, it's disgusting until it's baked. That's just, you just have to know that when you're doing some gluten-free baking and you're using bean flours. There's just a, it's just a beany flavor. To describe
well, that's
it.
The when beauty you're doing, of it.
But when you're doing a batter, it's not what you expect.
It's true. I guess whenever I think of chickpea flour, I always think back to pakoras, which is the first way I was introduced to it. And its flavor is just so delicious when it surrounds a nice fried veggie.
So just to just quickly review, get people's mouths watering, there are black bean tamale muffins and lemon coconut chickpea muffins and waffles, and somehow you've magically and put beans in all these recipes, savory pancakes. So I can't wait to try some of these. And then, well, now let's just move on to the purees, the dips and things. Now, fortunately, over the last, I don't know how it happened, maybe the last 20 years, but hummus has really gained some stature in the American diet.
It's true. It's the one saving grace. Whenever you go out anywhere and you're vegan or vegetarian, there's always hummus now.
Yeah. And hummus, well, the funny thing about hummus is hummus means chickpea, means garbanzo bean. That's how they say it in Hebrew and some other languages, hummus. And now we started to make hummus with other beans. It really isn't hummus anymore. It's a bean dip. But people need to know that there's more variations on bean dip than hummus. Hummus can be wonderful, but widen your horizons.
Well, it's always easier, too, if someone like you or I is willing to experiment and see if it works out or not first.
Mm-hmm.
So
have you ever made a bad bean dip?
Not anything that couldn't be saved.
There you go.
Because sometimes the best recipes...
Everything can always be saved.
It's true. Sometimes the best thing is a stew that doesn't taste quite right, and then you put six more things in, and it's perfect, and you never would have done it.
Yeah, that's right.
I guess I'm an optimist cook.
Well, you know, but that's really an important message, because there are a lot of people that are afraid of cooking. They don't know where the kitchen is. And then they have to find it and start cooking. And the thing is, we make mistakes. And that's the only way we learn. And many, many times with food, mistakes can be saved and turned into your most favorite dish.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I always tell people, if I can do it, you can do it.
Now, why is that?
Well, I taught myself how to cook, so mm-hmm. I kind of went through all the mistakes, and then if someone tells me not to do something and I don't have a clear understanding of why, I do it to see why. So I kind of make everybody's mistakes so you don't have to, you know? Like with slow cookers, I'm like, oh, it can't be possible to make that in a slow cooker. Let me try. And most of the time it comes out great.
Mm-hmm.
And so I guess I'm kind of a rebel or something.
Okay.
Well, but if you wanted to talk to my favorite dips that I think are really kind of slightly unique, I don't know how unique they are in all the world, but I have a white bean pecan pate.
Mm-hmm.
And so the smoky quality of the pecans and a little bit of nutritional yeast pureed with the white beans, it's got a little basil, garlic, oregano.
Mm.
And it makes a really nice darker color spread from the pecans.
Is that the little southern touch we're getting there with pecans in it?
Yes, I am definitely a southern girl. It comes out often, like in my chickpea patties and cornbread waffles that are in the book, too.
Mm-hmm. Well, the wonderful thing about bean pâtés is for people that want to get away from cheese and don't know what to do, I think these different varieties are a great substitute. They're not going to taste like cheese. Some made with nuts, you have an almond cheese spread, here a faux goat cheese. Some of them are going to get a little closer if they have a little higher fat content. But just to have some kind of different flavorful spreads to dip in or to spread on something, I think really can take care of a lot of cheese addictions.
Oh, I completely agree. And when people are transitioning from one kind of diet to another or eliminating something, I think it becomes a little easier if they have something familiar, even if it's not exactly the same thing. Because these are things that you can spread on crackers while you have some grapes and wine, if that's something you're used to doing every once in a while.
Mm. Yeah. And it's a lot cheaper than cheese.
Yes, it is. Even though there's some nuts in these spreads, they're really like a quarter cup to a half a cup of nuts, which aren't that expensive.
Right. And the wonderful thing about nuts is they are loaded with great nutrients and no cholesterol. Okay. So let's move to the soup section. I think most people are familiar with beans in soups. But if you're not making any, there's a lot of different options in here to get your soup thing going.
One of my favorites is the New Year's soup with black-eyed peas. But the Indian split pea and mung bean soup was really a tester favorite, too.
I'm just turning the pages here, and I'm looking for Indian split pea and mung bean soup. Oh, New Year's soup. Now, it's New Year's because?
Southern. Black-eyed peas, greens. Those are two things that you're supposed to eat on New Year's Day.
Look at that. I didn't know that.
I was surprised because I guess I grew up that way, and everybody I know that isn't from here knew that already. My editor didn't know that.
Mm-hmm. Well, we don't know everything, do we? Okay. and then back to the baking department, you've got a lot of different savory items with baking, different waffles that are savory, chickpea and cornbread and don't be crabby cakes. I like that one. So the bean is great. I remember there was a recipe that went around in a magazine or something somewhere that people got very excited about. It was a fettuccine Alfredo low-fat version without using cream. They used the white bean. And there was a big spin on this for a while. But the thing is that a white bean can be used in so many different recipes as a white creamy sauce.
Right. I actually have a vodka sauce that I do with white beans that's in the book. And another spread that I have is a white bean basil spread that I usually use lemon basil with. And I actually layer an eggplant lasagna with that instead of cheese.
Mm. Very, very good. Anyway, it's there's a lot of wonderful different things in here. Chili, of course. I mean, people know about chili, but there are still a gazillion ways to make chili and many other great beans, casseroles. You can put it in pasta. But I want to talk about some other things about beans. Now, people have some problems with beans. Can we talk about some of them? Now, I'm not afraid
Indeed.
To talk about some things, about the things that come out of us from different ends. And when people think about beans, a lot of people think about gas. Is there a solution for eating beans and not having gas from either end?
I think the number one problem is that a lot of people aren't used to digesting that much fiber, and it just causes them some gastric distress. And if they eat a little bit more, that helps. Now, once you've moved out of that category, there are people who do have more troubles with it. And it's obviously a worldwide thing because each country and area seems to have its own special thing that it puts with beans.
Mm.
Like kombu, bay leaves, epizote, cumin, summer savory, hing is also used a lot in Indian cooking, and they're all found to make the beans a little more digestible.
Ah, very good to know that. So we just need to add a little bit about that, but I think some people are just always going to have a little gas.
I think some people are, if you have a lot of problems, typically because I I'm a slow cooker fiend, so I tend to slow cook my beans. So I don't soak them because I want them to take a longer time to cook. But if you're having serious problems, I would soak the beans overnight, pour out the soaking water, cook them, and pour out the cooking water. You will lose some vitamins that way, but if you can't digest beans very well, you're still getting more than you would get anyhow.
I'm going to be talking in the next part of this program with Deidre Rawlings about her fermented food books, and I'm going to bring this subject up again because she's probably going to talk about how people that don't have healthy guts probably have a harder time digesting beans.
Interesting. She may have some great fermented food that's perfect to eat with beans, too.
Right, so stay tuned for that part. Now, the other thing that I find is when I eat beans, they have a lot of fiber in them, and I find everything moves quite easily all the way through my large intestine, small intestine, colon, and all the way out. I mean, I don't have any problem moving everything through from beginning to end when I eat my beans.
It's true. And with some of the sweet treats, I'm actually using flaxseed eggs.
Mm-hmm.
So it's important that you don't eat the whole batch of double chocolate devil's food cookies. I tested out a few cookies in a row one day, and I kind of messed up my partner really bad for a few days.
Oh, you think it was because there were too much flax seeds, or?
Yeah, too much flax and too much fiber in the beans. She has some trouble with beans.
Right.
But
okay.
I felt horrible.
Oh, well, you know, that's the thing, too much of anything. I think if people ate too many white flour muffins, they'd really be quite constipated. So
right, it's the opposite problem.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Now, I had one more question about beans. Oh, I wanted to mention the resistance starch. Are you aware of all the conversations now about resistance starch and beans?
No, I know about the undigestible sugar, and it starts with a P.
Okay, well, the resistant starch is something that's getting some attention, and it's just one more wonderful thing about beans, because we know that beans come with a certain amount of calories, and some people may be counting calories. I don't recommend it, but the resistant starch doesn't digest until way, way down at the end of the intestine, and you don't get the full calorie count of the beans as they are presented on a nutritional label. So you get full, but you're not even getting the calories that you think you're getting. You're getting less.
That's pretty interesting. I'm going to definitely have to look more into that,
mm-hmm.
because that's an interesting concept.
Well, that's why a lot of the vegan doctors today are saying you can eat pretty much as many beans as you want. A bean is an unlimited food because you'll get filled up before you consume too many calories. We love beans. Love beans. All right. Now, I want to get to the best part of the book. Saving the best for last. I'm looking at some of your frozen treats, which are amazing. Black bean fudgesicles. How did you come up with that?
I was trying to think of something unique to do, and I realized I love black bean brownies.
Mm-hmm.
And if black beans taste good in a brownie, they should taste just as good in a chocolate fudgesicle.
And they do.
And they did.
Yeah.
And so
There's just black beans, coconut milk, cocoa powder, agave, and a little vanilla.
Right, and you can switch out that agave to any sweetener that you like.
Mm-hmm.
And just, I recommend with all the desserts to switch it to whatever you like and just kind of taste the batter to make sure it tastes sweet enough for your taste.
Well, you don't add very much, 3 tablespoons for 6 pops. That's not a lot of sweetener.
No, I tend to be on the lower side of that, the same way I'm usually on the lower side of salt. Because
mm-hmm.
even though I have nutritional information, I don't usually, actually I don't in this book, give any sodium information because probably 90% of the recipes say salt to taste.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm all for that. I barely add any salt to my food. Salt is a no-no in my book. But people feel differently about it, and yeah, so you give them the option. If they need a little more salt, go for it.
And kind of the same thing with desserts. Some things I like to have sweeter than others, but for some reason, the black bean fudgesicles tasted real chocolatey and rich to me without very much agave.
Mm-hmm. Mm. And then there's the ginger red bean popsicles.
Yes, because I do have a recipe for red bean paste, which is a traditional Asian dessert, which is really interesting. And I'd had it in different pastries before, but I'd never made it. So I thought, oh, it's going to be complicated and have a lot of ingredients. It's water, beans, and sugar.
And a little ginger.
Yeah, and so with this one, then, yeah, then the pops have coconut milk and ginger in them as well to kind of add to that. There's also a red bean filled muffin, too, that's pretty interesting. So if you make a whole batch, you can do the muffins and the popsicles.
Mm, very, very good. You see, beans are quite exciting. From baked goods to popsicles, you can do everything with beans. And I just want to just mention the soybean for a moment, because soybeans are, I believe, are a great food. There's a bit of hysteria around soybeans these days because, unfortunately, we've manufactured it into so many different foods and people have issues with it. But you do not have to eat soybeans. Even though they're just a lovely, simple bean, you don't have to have them. There are all these other wonderful beans out there, and you can do so many great things with them. So, Kathy, thank you for the great vegan bean book.
Thank you for inviting me on. I really appreciate it.
Yes, and we can find you at, you have a bunch of...
Healthy. Oh, sorry.
Yes, please, go ahead.
I thought that was a cue.
Yes,
HealthySlowCooking.com.
HealthySlowCooking.com, where you blog, and you also blog at KeyIngredient.com.
I do. I'm the vegan blogger every Wednesday.
Okay, great. Well, thank you so much for joining me on It's All About Food.
Great. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. That was Kathy Hester, the author of the great vegan bean book. I love beans, and I hope you learn to love them, too, because they're going to love you and make you look wonderful. Shall we take a little break? And then we're going to be back with Deidre Rawlings talking about fermented foods, okay?